Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:10 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, one other thing that Andy Hobbs wanted me to let you know from the Scambia Sheriff's Office regarding the social media threat against schools, he says, is that the real-time crime center is up, operational, and monitoring all the schools. And again, very confident that they are, dealing with this and not to be worried. And, you know, your kids are going to be fine, okay? 8:11 News Radio 92.3. Julio Diaz is the host of the Pensacola Movie Club and also the founder of that. And they watch movies, and you can talk about them afterwards. And the host of Let's Go Pensacola on Saturdays at 4 o'clock here on this radio station. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Speak No Evil, first movie today? Or did you guys watch? That's what you watched?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are two movies that came out this week that I've been really, really looking forward to seeing, and it was going to be very tough to make a choice between the two of them. One is the new movie starring Aubrey Plaza called My Old Ass, which is getting fantastic reviews. And then Kevin Smith has a new movie out called The 4:30 Movie, which is getting his best reviews maybe since Chasing Amy. His best reviews in 30 years. Fantastic reviews on this movie. And it was going to be a really hard decision on which one to see. And fortunately, our local theaters made it easy for me by not opening either one of them. So unfortunately, we're gonna have to wait to see if we eventually get them or if they come out. You know, I know that My Old Ass is produced by Amazon, so it'll eventually be on Prime.
Gotcha.
We'll have to think about that. So the big release this week is See No Evil, or excuse me, Speak No Evil, rather, which is a remake of a Danish film that came out a few years ago. It's about a family that goes on this idyllic vacation. They meet up with this other family. They're invited to their home, and turns out the other family is, well, you know, they got something going on, and it's a psychological thriller, scary type movie. Produced by Blumhouse. Now, this is getting really much better reviews than I expected. It's running at 88 on Rotten Tomatoes. But if you've been to a movie in the last 6 months, you've probably seen this trailer five times before that movie.
Right, I've seen it even, yeah.
Yeah, and the trailers are just miserable for this movie. And just none of us could be bothered to go out to see this one despite the reviews. I may still catch up with it because I'm very surprised with the reviews, but man, I'm just glad we're free of that trailer.
We also have The Killing Game, I think, comes out today.
Yeah, this is kind of a fun concept. This stars Dave Bautista as a hitman who gets a terminal diagnosis, and so he puts a hit out on himself. And then the killers not only start coming after him, but they just start coming out after his ex-girlfriend. And he learns that the diagnosis was false.
Of course it is. Little Joe versus the Volcano Hitman style.
Yeah, but with like a John Wick twist.
I gotcha. Yeah. All right.
Reviews are not great on this, but it does sound like a fun concept.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the idea. The Critic?
This is one of those movies that you look at, oh, you know, this must be, you know, a fantastic film with a high caliber cast. You've got Ian McKellen and Gemma Arterton and Mark Strong and, you know, this British drama where there's a theater critic who gets involved in this blackmail scheme. Unfortunately, if you're familiar with the old animated series, The Critic, that was on in the 80s or the 90s, as that guy would say, it stinks. Reviews are not great on this.
All right.
30% range on Rotten Tomatoes.
Usher's got a concert film out.
Yeah, if you're an Usher fan, then you're excited about this. And if you're not an Usher fan, you could care less. But, Taylor Swift did it, so now everybody's got to do it. And there's this big concert film. So those of you that like Usher, it's there for you.
I guess it is. Totally out of time, but you did have at least Dan DeDan and Am I Racist? Either one of these any good?
Dan DeDan is a new anime series. So this is the first three episodes turned into a movie. Not screened for critics, but this is an interesting concept about two friends. One's a believer in ghosts, but shuns aliens, and the other is the opposite. They believe in aliens, but they shun ghosts.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Clever.
So that's fun. Am I Racist? You know, to me, if you title your movie that, or if you have to ask that question, you know what the answer is. And then there's a new God's Not Dead film also for the people who enjoy that.
Faith audience. Well. Okay, very good. What are you guys going to watch next week?
There's a movie coming out next week with Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley. The title has just dropped out of my head, but it's been getting a lot of buzz out of the film festival, the body horror film that I've been really looking forward to. So hoping to see that one next week.
Oh, and by the way, congratulations, CDC, giving the, I think, $350,000 grant that the county commission still has to approve, but first stage down, right? So good news.
Thank you, yes.
Absolutely. And Andy did a great job representing Pensacon. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola at 4 o'clock on Saturdays and also the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. Sir, thank you as always for the time. We'll talk to you next week. 8:16 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Is it possible a single transgressors episode could cancel both President Trump and President Biden? Find out next. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
One accident to let you know about, vehicle crash with roadblock. We're seeing East 10 Mile Road in Motley Court. It's got some minor delays associated with that one. But taking a look at I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, going to see about a five-minute delay there. Also, if you're on Burgess Road going east and west, I'm seeing some major traffic jams up right there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
If you've got a plumbing need, a drip, a leak, a weird sound in the wall, the pressure, you know, when you flush the toilet, that's not good. The pressure's not good. The heat's not good. Or you fixed it already and it needs to be fixed. Had that happen to me. They were great. Barbary Plumbing came out and fixed my fix and took care of us, and they were fantastic. Pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope, from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Senator J.D. Vance and former President Say Not His Name for perpetuating the horrible racist and xenophobic slur that Haitian immigrants are killing pets in Springfield, Ohio, and eating them.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
Of course, we recognize that, like so many of Trump's preposterous claims, this one started with a single story from a supposed eyewitness who spoke at a previous city council meeting.
I don't even want to, like, seem like I'm coming down on the immigrants, because it's the people that's bringing them down here. Because wherever they're at, that's what they're used to, bro. They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them and eating them, like.
Unfortunately, many people have turned pictures of cats or dogs or ducks. Why does no one seem to care about the ducks? Into a wide variety of viral memes. But this is absolutely no laughing matter. And although some of our normal allies have tried to claim there can be no truth to the story, even the Sacred and Holy Los Angeles Times published an article in 1989 about efforts by the SPCA to re-educate immigrants against eating domesticated mammals in California after a court case against two Cambodian refugees who actually did so. It is well established that many foreign cultures eat things Americans consider unacceptable, and so it's only natural that when they come here, they might practice the same culinary choices. And, of course, we believe in a culture of non-judgment and inclusion. Tolerance is kind of our thing, you know. Plus, the Holy Handbook of Cultural Relativism teaches us that we cannot judge the practices of other cultures, or of any culture, unless that culture is a Western, white, or Christian one. Or Israel. So we must be careful not to apply our own standards to the Haitians or anyone with their alternate food styles. Obviously, we side with our dear friends at PETA in advocating for a vegan or plant-based diet for both health and ethical reasons. And that's why we find the consumption of beef and chicken to be just as offensive as the eating of dogs, cats, and park ducks. We say that people should not eat food with a face at all, regardless of whether it's food with a face and whiskers, food with a face that barks, or food with a face that quacks and waddles. So for telling a story that is hateful and mean, even if it is likely true, we yet again must cancel the Republican presidential and vice presidential candidates. Also, don't eat the meat on a stick in Ohio. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, and this one does certainly give me personal pain, but we must at least censure the leader of our Democratic Party, Joe Biden, president of the United States in absentia, whereabouts unknown at least most days. But this week actually reminds us of why he must remain hidden from sight and gently bubble-wrapped at a safe distance from the levers of power. During a jovial interchange with a Trump supporter at a 9/11 event in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, Biden offered the man one of his presidential SEAL hats and then joked that he needed the man's Trump hat in exchange. After some banter and the crowd egging him on, Biden, most elder of his name, put the Trump hat over his own hat in an awkwardly unfashionable show of unity. Show of unity? Look, people, we have an election to win, and you just cannot afford to muddy the message like this. It's one thing to speak generally about the need for unity while always taking every opportunity to completely trash the Republicans, which, of course, is the third of our four sacred hypocrisies. But there can be absolutely no room for making light of the overtanned felon from Mar-a-Lago. We cannot simultaneously present the truth that Trump is a real threat to democracy and then turn around and joke and banter and wear a hat bearing the name of MAGA Man. Putting aside that his supporters ferociously celebrated the moment and ridiculed dear leader Biden for it relentlessly, even hinting at the idea that the chasm between us and them can be bridged by creative hatmanship is a terrible lie to tell. For confusing the message, for debifurcating the third holy hypocrisy, and for even a fleeting de-escalation of the political war we're trying so hard to inflame, Grandpa Joe, we cancel thee. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our utmost and enthusiastic praise for Her Sweet Highness Taylor Swift, the anointed and shimmering one, the destroyer of ex-boyfriends, the wearer of all boots, and the invigorator of the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, Mademoiselle Tay-Tay this week endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris, the High Priestess of Racial Ambiguity, to become President of the United States. And yes, we recognize that a woman who became famous for singing about all of her bad decisions might not be the ideal person to tell the fictitious undecided member of the American electorate what a good decision it is for them to vote for Kamala Harris, but we also know that most young voters don't think consistently or with rigor, and so not to worry. In addition, we applaud the leader of the Swifties for taking this brave and courageous step because we certainly recognized it would invite the ire of Trump world and MAGA trolls to attack her during this cruel summer. But we knew that the blank space of their hearts could not taint her purity, that they would reveal themselves as the party of bad blood, and that no matter what, she would surely shake it off like an ill-fitting cardigan. But in all of this, we actually take great comfort that, like the Obi-Wan Kenobi of modern pop culture that she is, if you strike her down on Truth Social, she will only become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. So for hip-swaying her way into the middle of the presidential election with support for our sweet anti-hero, the substitute candidate, we celebrate thee, O Empress of Sequins, woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before you leave today, we do want to recognize that His Excellency and just recently promoted to 5th degree Chancellor Extraordinaire George Clooney has been awarded a third silver wheatgrass pin for doublespeak above and beyond the call of duty. After working so diligently with former President Obama and others behind the scenes to oust leader Biden from the ticket against his will, Clooney led the media blitz to reframe this as a courageous and voluntary decision made by the president in hiding himself. What a massively brilliant piece of doublethink and real-time historic revisionism. The more you can repeat the lie that this was a voluntary choice by Joe Biden, the more you can make people forget that the real misdeed here was hiding Biden's mental decline. The more heroic you can make him seem for doing what he was forced to do, the less anyone is going to want to focus on how long we hid the truth from the American people. A true masterstroke by Sir Lies-A-Lot, and a very well-deserved promotion and pinning. Refreshments this week are furnished by Heart of Stone, the pulverized granite dietary supplement guaranteed to lift your spirits and make your stomach sink. Add a robust dusting of Heart of Stone sodium-free seasoning to any meal, or mix it directly into your chai latte or chicory coffee and let the clumping begin. Now in 100, 200, and new 400 grit consistency, Heart of Stone, you can really taste the virtue. But please remember not to chew.
Woe unto all.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
828 here on News Radio 92.3. Let the clumping begin. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
Just still dealing with that one accident on East 10 Mile Road and Motley Court. It's still saying with roadblock, but there's minor traffic delays with that. Also, I-10 eastbound is looking a lot better now. We're seeing about a two-minute delay through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to decide if now is the time, if you should wait, if investors are going to pounce when the interest rates drop and you should get in there before them, or if you should wait until that all kind of settles, that dust all settles. Well, these are all good questions. What about the what about the structure of the commissions? What about home insurance? My God, home insurance these days. You know, how old is the roof? How old is the water heater? How old is the air conditioning system? Which do you have to replace buying or selling? Good questions. Really important questions, especially given the rates these days. Ask your realtor. And a really good one, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. 175 homes sold last year. They love to get into the details and figure out how to help you best make good choices with your buying or your selling and to make sure you get your way all the way through to the end result. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The FBI investigating the death of a 12-year-old boy who fell off the balcony of a Royal Caribbean cruise ship off the coast of Texas. That happened on Saturday as the Harmony of the Seas was making its way back to port in Galveston.
Louise, man, you have to, I mean, okay, first of all, parents are always super protective of their kids on the cruise ship for reasons. But at the same time, those cruise ships, like, you have to really try. They are really designed to be safe against that kind of thing. So, wow. All right, go ahead.
Louisiana's energy company says some of the parishes that lost their electricity during Hurricane Francine may not have power back until Monday, but so far they say they've got about 50% of power customers restored.
well, you know, that's good work getting it all back on. You know, there is a candidate forum today at the Tryon Branch on Langley at 10:30. Candidates for District 4 and 5 in Escambia County and District 2 for City Council. So that should be really good, being put on by the Women for Responsible Legislation at 10:30. They usually do it at City Hall, but this one's going to be at the Tryon Branch on Langley.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Production of Boeing jets is mostly shut down by a strike. Fox's Carmen Roberts.
Boeing's machinist union voted to go on strike for the first time in 16 years. Union member Adam Vogel.
The whole contract's unfair. They're taking too much away from us without giving us anything.
96% of the 33,000 union members voted to walk out.
Most of those jobs are in the Seattle area. Ahead of President Biden's meeting today with British Prime Minister Keir Starmer about letting Ukraine use Western weapons to hit military targets deep inside Russia, six British diplomats are kicked out of Russia.
Moscow's FSB security service has revoked the accreditation of six British embassy staff, broadcasting their names and photos on Russian TV and accusing them of showing signs of spying and sabotage.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 77 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. A social media threat to several Escambia County schools was reported early this morning. Parents received this phone call today.
In the early morning hours of Friday, September the 13th, Escambia County School District and local law enforcement were made aware of a potential social media threat made against several area schools. In the hours since, local law enforcement has been working diligently to determine the source and validity of this threat. As a result, there will be heightened law enforcement present at our campuses today.
Superintendent Keith Leonard there, and we have now learned that law enforcement is investigating and does not believe the threat to be valid, but they are still investigating, looking for the source of this threat on social media. The school district says they'll use every legal means available to make sure there are consequences to the person that posted it. And again, you will see additional law enforcement presence at schools today. Well, officials at local food banks say more people have been asking for help as grocery prices continue rising. D.D. Flaunlacker with Mana Food Pantry says more families around our area have been struggling with economic conditions. Mana supplies 50 to 75,000 pounds of food to those in need every month and says 95% of the food they distribute comes from donations, which are also down when compared to last year. Escambia Board of Commissioners approving a new 30-year improvement plan for the Warrington area. That plan includes upgrading commercial areas along Navy Boulevard and the gateway into NAS Pensacola.
The relationship between the United States Navy and Warrington goes back centuries, and it's literally our backyard. It's our neighborhood. And we're just really, really excited about the redevelopment plan, 30-year plan. We want Warrington to succeed. We want the Navy to succeed.
Director of the National Naval Aviation Museum, also retired Navy Captain Sterling Gilliam. He tells Channel 3 that the Navy believes allowing more access to the base might help the neighborhood. Other goals addressed in the plan include creating new opportunities for the youth and for elderly residents in the Warrington area. A 61-year-old Pensacola man was booked into the Escambia jail on Thursday morning after being accused of fatally shooting a woman yesterday. Escambia Sheriff's Office deputies arrested 61-year-old Randall Laws after they determined that he shot a woman on Lillian Highway, who later died from injuries at the hospital. Deputies arrived on the scene to find the woman with a gunshot wound. Laws and the victim were reportedly acquaintances, but they say it was not a domestic violence case. A woman accused of killing her grandparents. This is a tragic case out of Broward County. Fort Lauderdale police say they arrested Jaleesa Hill yesterday on first-degree murder charges. The 38-year-old allegedly shot Major and Claudette Melvin at their home 6 months ago. Hill's ex-boyfriend was arrested 2 weeks ago for his alleged involvement in that case. It is 8:35. News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just one accident to let you know about 10 Mile Road in Motley Court. That's in the clearing stages right now. But other than that, I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
There will be a small chance of rain this afternoon, 40% chance overall. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 87. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. Keeping a beautiful sunny forecast for that Saturday, 10% chance of rain, high near 88. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
77 in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, 78 also in Milton. Your money now. This morning, markets are up, but not by a lot. The Dow's up 99 points at 41,195. S&P 500 up 16 points, just under 16 points at 56,11. The NASDAQ up just under 30 points at 17,599. 10-year bond rate down a bit at 3.65%. Gold prices up 27.70 at 26,0830. Silver price is up 89 cents today at $31 even. And Bitcoin is down $474 at $57,822.71. Donald Trump proposing an end to taxation on overtime pay. Yesterday, Trump spoke at a rally in Arizona. He promised he would end taxes on overtime if he were reelected. He didn't offer any further details on how exactly that plan would work. The proposal would require congressional action. In recent months, Trump has also proposed ending taxes on tipped wages and on Social Security benefits. Boeing says they're ready to renegotiate after workers voted to go on strike. Thousands of aircraft employees at the manufacturing plants in Seattle and Portland rejected a contract offer and walked off the job today. Consumer spending for the upcoming holiday season, it's expected to be down from last year. Deloitte is out with its first holiday forecast. They're projecting that retail sales will increase by as much as 3.3%. That's down from a growth of 4% in 2023. Even with the decrease, that would work out to about $1.6 trillion. And with only 27 days between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, retailers are expected to launch their holiday sales earlier than normal. It's 8:37. Your next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
To the hip, the hip, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the time of the week when we go over the stuff we've already gone over, but with a little bit different perspective by inviting a couple of friends to join me in studio and give their perspectives, especially people like Josh Newby, who never get anything right. I mean, doesn't always agree with me. I'll just put it that way.
But always gets it right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Josh Newby is the executive director of the Council on Aging West Florida and a dear, dear friend. He joins us today. Josh, say hi.
Yeah, hi.
Okay. Rusty Branch, who is also a dear, dear friend and with Innisfree Hotels. This ought to be very interesting. Rusty, hello.
Hey, how are you?
A pastor in his past life, anyway.
I was a pastor. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I haven't been defrocked, but I am no longer a pastor.
Retired, so. But not committed.
Yes. Yeah. That's
committed
right.
Something. All right. So we have to start with the athletic complex, or what I have been sometimes not so lovingly calling the gym to nowhere, or the gym in nowhere. I don't know. God, so much to be said about this. You've been, you know, Innisfree came out against this.
Yes.
As a package.
Yes.
You're not against the athletic complex. You're
nope.
Just a facility. You just don't think it ought to be in the backseat middle on the hump at Ashton-Brosnahan Park where we don't have operational support for it to begin with.
Yeah, real estate location matters, right? And
absolutely.
So you're talking about bonding $90 million with TDT. That's going to cost you $6 million a year in just debt service. So
for both projects.
For both projects.
30 for the Bay Center, 60 for the gym.
So four at the indoor, And you're going to return, the feasibility study said. And just so you all know, a feasibility study should tell you you need a business plan, not that you should vote to bond.
Right. The concept of a plan.
Yes, right. It's like, okay, we should do a plan. There's no pro forma.
You usually take the business plan with you to the bank when you ask for the money, right?
Yeah. They're going to have to do all of that, I think, before anybody gets the money.
Yeah, it hasn't been done yet.
And, yeah, none of
that. I mean,
that.
We were lucky to get the 157-page study.
That's
just
right.
Closed.
But at peak, we're going to generate in local taxes, TDT, LOST, LOGT, about $1.1 million a year. So we're going to spend $4 million on the indoor sports facility to get $1.1 million back. That's tax dollars that we're trading.
That's direct compensation.
Yeah. Now, I'm from Grand Ridge, which is just east of Marianna, and we only have three kind of people in Grand Ridge. Only three. Those that can count and those that can't. And even I know this is
Love
a bad
it.
Business deal, yeah. right? I can do the math on this. And so we're going to lose $2 million a year of local tax dollars.
Just to have it.
Just to have it there.
Right.
And that's not operational losses.
And that's almost best case, right? I mean, that's if everything else works right. If they can book it for 40 months or 40 weekends of the year, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the problem is that you at that site, that location, you won't be able to book it Monday through Thursday.
Because of soccer use.
School, soccer
rules,
use,
right.
all those things, right? So if it was located somewhere else, you could do that. But here's the issue, too. Everybody thinks, well, good, we'll have a community center, right? You know, I can go and do things at the community center. Well, this isn't a gym with an arts and crafts room. This is 100,000 square
feet.
It's
a warehouse.
Building. Yes, with 75,000 square feet of open floor space. You will have to have a management contract. You won't take your club volleyball team and just walk in and practice. This is going to be very expensive to operate. We don't know how much because there's no operational plan. There's no business plan. But we do know you're going to have somebody manage it. It's going to cost a lot to flip lights on a 100,000 square foot building. So this isn't like a soccer field at Brosenham where you could walk out in the sunlight and just start playing. This is very, very different. And I'll tell you one other thing, too, Andrew. Sorry for taking
Please
time.
Do. It doesn't bother me at all. It's the same thoughts I've been having in different clothing.
Yeah,
I like that.
So watch this. And so what's fixing to happen at the end of Kim Strand and 9 Mile? You're fixing to add a Costco, the only one from Tallahassee to Mobile.
Right.
Right? Saturdays, when that Costco's built, everybody from Navarre, Milton, Atmore, they're coming to 9 Mile Road to the end of Kim Strand, 1 mile from this facility, where we're going to have PFC, local soccer going on. It's packed out. It's a 2-lane road. And you're going to add 700 cars. Well, if you live on 10 Mile, if you live on Guidee, if you live on Kingsfield, good luck.
Which is, I mean, you live in that area, so you should know.
I live
know.
A mile away.
To, yeah, no, exactly
You think
right.
beach traffic is bad?
Right. 100%.
So just to be clear, you're not against the idea of the gym, but why on earth are we putting it there? Put it at the Bay Center, right? Or
Absolutely.
Put it somewhere downtown, and the Bay Center seems like the perfect place.
Yeah, one of the arguments was this is a piece of property the county already owns. Well, the county already owns the back parking lot of the Bay Center.
Right.
They want to bond it together to save money on the bond issue with the bond council. Well, how about one construction site where you don't have to mobilize two different sites, one engineering, one architect, and you can fix the Bay Center, build this facility on the back, and you can have boat shows. You can expand Pensacon.
Convention center value. Right.
You could have sports on the weekend. You could play tournaments and then go into the Bay Center and have a championship game.
Yeah.
Okay. How amazing would that be?
Yeah. Okay. So, Josh, I'll get you in here in a second. Trust me.
Yeah, sure.
But, okay, so that naturally begs the question, why piggyback it on the Bay Center improvements, put it in the wrong place? Why build the ship out of, instead of live oaks, building it out of the plywood we have in the garage? Because that's kind of what the property value, you know, like, oh, we got to build a ship. What are we going to use? I got some plywood. Like, no, it's not what you have. It's what's best. And what's best would be at the Bay Center or in that vicinity. I'll tell you my uncharitable read, correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen Bear is trying to get reelected. This looks like, I mean, I want to believe people have all the best intentions. I want to believe that, you know, and I'm not trying to cast aspersions on Ray Palmer or, you know, Michael Rhodes or any of these folks, but this looks like a giant pork project to try to tell people that you got a thing done that you've been trying to work on for years and nothing ever has happened about it. It's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
And not even a smart one where you could put it somewhere that makes more sense.
Well, what makes sense here is that a third of the LOST and LOGT collected in this community is by visitors. We need to make a smart decision. This is not accretive to the future tax situation. I mean, we export our taxes when we have visitors come here. We pay less because they pay.
Right. We externalize our taxes to the visitors.
This decision does not, it's not accretive to that future, right? We're not going to increase our tax revenue. We're going to lose tax revenue.
Which is why the hoteliers are so frustrated about this.
Well, yeah, if I was a restaurateur. Absolutely. Yeah.
And being done without a District 4 representative where the, you know, the biggest chunk of the bed tax money is generated
about
in District
4. About 50% comes out of District 4, and we don't have a representative on the board
And
right
before,
now.
Like, with a lame duck commissioner, another commissioner whose job is threatened pretty significantly, and a missing commissioner. I mean, like, everything about this doesn't add up. All right, Josh, go.
Right. Well, I will say I agree with both of you. It stinks to high heaven, but I think I've been on the show before with either David Baer or Travis Peterson, someone like that, who has made the pitch that Nine Mile should be the new Palafox. And I think maybe this is a step in that direction. I agree with both of you, but that's my devil's advocate position.
But
you
if
don't
you're
get
gonna,
there without a capital investment.
But let's imagine, let's accept that premise as an alternative. OLF 8.
Right.
Yeah. Where you actually are going to have an interchange.
For sure.
Where you actually have a widened road, where you actually have open land, where you're trying to drive things towards and create amenities like it. You know, oh, look, we also get a community center on OLF 8 if we do it there. Yeah. Instead of putting it, you know, in the back of where there's not really good road access to begin with, the neighbors haven't even been consulted. And, oh, by the way, there's schools and that whole area gets used already. OLF 8 has sat vacant for now, what?
Right.
7 years?
At least.
Well, and Nine Mile's already the new Main Street.
Right.
Right?
Oh, I've been up. Yeah.
So I go every day, and it is packed.
And you got hotels, you got restaurants, you're going to have more development.
Yeah,
it would be almost like, you know, the original plan for the W Street soccer complexes, which is why I understand you have, like, the Sam's and all of the things. All of the stuff in that area came on the promise of the W Street stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that didn't happen and all the history around that. But if we actually built this facility on Nine Mile, you know, on OLF 8 and other things that we hope have to be coming there, you would get the benefit that you had hoped to get by the way it was mishandled on W Street. Am I missing something?
I think you're right. No, you're both right.
I'd be on this council. Anyway, let's get John.
Would you like to submit your name?
Could I have this job and be on the TDC?
Yes.
Do it.
How sure are you?
Because
I've always believed I could not be in office and hold this job. I wonder about that. Anyway, John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
Just one accident to let you know about East Olive Road and North 9th Avenue. That's no road blockage associated with that, but just some minor delays. I-10 eastbound are flowing smoothly, too. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I appreciate that. Oh, and we didn't even have time to mention no city representatives on the council at the time the vote took place because they
it's very shady.
Same time scheduled city council agenda meeting, which was scheduled long before
very
this
shady.
Meeting that was the add-on. So,
and Ms. Broughton asked for it to be moved.
And she did.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. And even when she tried to get the ordering of the events in the TDC redone to let her stay, it was kind of reluctance by David Baer to do that. But then eventually they did.
He did.
But it still waited too long. She had to leave anyway.
Yeah.
I can't believe no city council is anyway. It's so much. All right, other topics. Because speaking of things that are completely uncontroversial, the Escambia Children's Trust. Rusty, you were part of the board,
the committee that passed the referendum.
Right, the passed the referendum. Mm-hmm. So you were a big supporter.
Yep.
I have been equally frustrated with this clawback effort by the county to turn the money in the Children's Trust back into basically a property tax increase by making it open to sort of any use that they think can tangentially benefit kids. Okay. Sidewalks and parks and security cameras are great, but that's not why we passed the Escambia Children's Trust.
Yep.
At least DC has said that he's willing to leave the money in their hands as long as we work together on using it for the schools, which is
what
it's
Broward
for.
And Miami-Dade do.
Right.
Right.
We would be the only county in the state where the tax increment financing portion of the Escambia Children's Trust money is clawed back to the CRA and not handled in some other way in collaboration with them. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Yes.
So here's the issue. I think this is indicative.
Josh, Rusty's been leading. You want to?
I will just say that I voted for the ECT. I support the ECT in principle. I was born in Miami. I benefited personally from the version of it down there. The way that, and I think Lindsay Cannon is she's doing a great job in a very difficult position. Same with the ECT board. But the way that funds are being allocated, either via this measure that you were just talking about, Andrew, and also via the United Way, I feel like public funds with public scrutiny are becoming private interest pork.
Sheltered away from
public oversight.
Layers of oversight.
Tell me why I'm wrong, Rusty.
Well, I mean, they're already in these out-of-school programs. They send money to the YMCA for reading programs, right? And so you could say, well, they're sheltering it over there. You got to fund. That's the whole purpose of it. They're not to
But
to
who does
operate.
The Y apply to?
The Y applies, well, yeah, they apply to the ECT.
Okay.
Here's the issue, though.
But the other organizations are now having to apply to United Way, which is a private organization.
Well, we did the same thing on the North End with I forget the name of the program, Art Gateway.
Okay.
So they managed a program, and, like, Parent University applied through them.
Right.
So this has already been going on. This happens around the state. Here's my issue. This is indicative of the larger problems in our county. We see everything in bits and pieces. I've heard the commission say many times, school performance is not our problem. That's the school district. Mm-hmm. Economic development is not tourism, this and that. And so we bifurcate everything. And we end up
penta. How many pieces, right?
And we don't see how we can collectively move forward. Look, a lot of people said, well, the commission should spend this money. The trust has not done a good job. They've absolutely done a great job.
The trust.
The trust.
Agreed.
What's happened has been phenomenal. In 2020, this passed in November. They did not get funding till the end of 21-22. They weren't able to start funding until the middle of 22. 22-23, 23-24. The one difference in our community, we've had wonderful programs like, you know, Studer Brain Bags. We've had eCare for years. We've had these programs, and they're great. YMCA Reads, all these programs. For two decades, we have not seen a real increase in performance until last year. The best school grades we've had in two decades. And the one difference is the Children's Trust.
I support the Children's Trust, but all of that, what you just mentioned, occurred because of the structure that was sold to the taxpayers. But now the structure is changing, and I worry that those outcomes are going to suffer as a result.
Yeah, I don't know if they're changing.
And the loss of funding, which was kind of the original question,
right?
The loss of 5% of their funds every year that's going to go back to the CRA through the county.
The Children's Trust is a very small organization.
Yes.
There are thousands of employees at Escambia County that the Board of County Commission ultimately. The Children's Trust has just a few employees. Mm-hmm. They have to fund someone, just like the County Commission funds Visit Pensacola to handle tourism dollars. So if you've got a tourism program, something you want to do, you go to Visit Pensacola. You don't go to the county, right?
Right.
They measure you. They see what kind of heads and beds you get. What are the returns? So the Children's Trust, very small staff of 5 or 6.
Right.
A board that is very small, and they're not operational. They're working with a known entity like United Way to do these wraparound services. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's got to be a United Way process. They have their processes, but they will ultimately answer to the Children's Trust, and all this money will be very public.
You know, it's not quite what you guys are talking about, but it's a question that came to my mind this week after I talked to Sheriff Simmons, as we always do. You know, they're in the middle of a Blazer Academy right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Blazer Academy seems like a great opportunity program for Escambia Children's Trust to scale up.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean,
that's funded out of the foundation.
Yeah, that's the,
right.
And it's cops who do it. So, I mean, it's kind of a unique scenario, mm-hmm. but talk about something that works.
Yeah.
you know, and isn't that what the Children's Trust is there to do, is to help turn little things into big things or non things into things at all? And it seems like that would be an opportunity. And I think, you know, I'm sure the sheriff is kind of looking into that prospect
sure,
right
sure,
now.
Yeah,
but
it's a great idea.
Which is kind of like not the same as Parent University, but sort of falls somewhat into that space of mentoring, information, mm-hmm. guidance, and, you know, getting good people to help. 8:53 on News Radio 92.3. All right, Josh, I would feel very bad about my life choices if I didn't ask you what you thought of your girl in the debate. The girl who, last time we had you on, she just got the nomination, and you were out of your, strong funk and depression, and you were excited about life again.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day.
So Kamala and Tim, how'd she do in the debate?
I thought she did well, and that might be a controversial opinion in this room, but I want to just speak briefly.
You imply that outside of this room you're well in the mainstream with that?
Absolutely.
Is that what you're telling me?
I think she did better than Trump. So I'll speak
She did better than Trump too.
To you as conservatives, the tragedy of the Trump movement is that there is no conservative policy or philosophy or thought to counterbalance the whims of the left. You have the banner carrier of the conservative movement who doesn't have a single policy thought in his head. He couldn't find 80% of the countries he talks about on a map. He couldn't list the three branches of government. Or if he could, he wouldn't be able to without saying every intrusive, nonsensical, solipsistic thought.
I'm not sure I agree with you entirely. In fact, I disagree. But I agree that the Republican nominee representing the policy ideas of conservatism and the principled conservatism of the past certainly is not true of Donald Trump.
Right. So he's a policy vacuum, and what is left is culture war BS. And I think that he has set the conservative movement back. And look, I appreciate the conservative movement. You and I are friends. We're polar opposites on politics.
Most days.
You need that.
Right.
But you don't have that right now.
And yeah, and he has, and I've talked about this a bunch, is that he took the platform from where it had been.
Right.
And basically appropriated it to himself and said, this is now what GOP means. This is what
right.
Republicanism means. And it's abandoned so much of its core, especially all the stuff about debt. Put aside the social issues. I mean, not that you can, but, you know, he's a moderate on those, and he's completely abandoned the opposition debt because he is a large government spender.
But that's
what I'm saying. I agree with you about it. I don't want to get into the, you know, what he knows and doesn't know stuff.
Yeah.
But Rusty, you know,
well, I thought he was.
Has Trump recognized that the country is no longer conservative, or has he basically ripped the one conservative platform away from the conservatives?
Well, I thought he was Project 2025.
He was asked a lot of yes, no questions. No. Is the man stupid?
Yeah. Well, we
have Josh's version of events in which Trump doesn't even understand 2025 because he hasn't read it and all that. Or we have Kamala Harris's version he's the instigator of it and the author of it, even though it's not written in all caps.
I thought he had this crazy policy thing going on and tariffs everywhere thought he was just a mad genius.
His administration, and I get that people vote for the administration. Yeah. I'm begging your listeners to listen to the man talk. The man is stupid.
Wow. Look at the results he got.
You don't think he got administration, Andrew?
But that's okay. So this is what I have always had to do. Trump, on the one hand, drives me up the wall when he opens his mouth. But then when I look at what actually happened with him as president, I have to cheer.
I think, despite
and so I have to say, what am I voting for? Am I voting for outcomes, or am I voting for a guy who sounds like that I would have on as a guest? And the answer is, I'm voting for outcomes, Rusty.
Well, I didn't watch the debate. I watched reruns of In the Heat of the Night.
You've made all the good choices.
Phenomenal.
Oh, hey, by the way, we need to get John in here with traffic on the fives real quick. John?
Yeah, no accidents to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the fives.
Go ahead, Rusty.
Well, and I was just going to say, I can't believe how many people they shoot in Sparta, Mississippi. But
it's a bad place to live, just like you don't want to live anywhere near Agatha Christie, where she's vacationing.
Very funny.
Yeah. I think it's wrong to say the man's an idiot. I think that's... Now, he may have ulterior motives. He may do things that you wouldn't agree with. He may sell his mother to make a dollar. I don't know about the business side of all that. But I think the guy's played it pretty smart. And he's obviously tapped into something that nobody else could.
And moving moderate is a politically smart move.
Yeah.
It is, especially on the abortion issue.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to straddle both sides, but he's definitely trying to not be, you know, me or Rubio or Governor DeSantis on this. I let it fly, Josh, because I just figured every once in a while you're just gonna have to say your outrageous thing.
DeSantis or Nikki Haley would be running away with this thing right now.
Oh, see, there we agree. I mean, I think Nikki Haley gets elected 2-1.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly over Biden.
Yes.
And probably over Kamala Harris. In fact, she had she would have had hypothetically all the advantages in a woman versus woman matchup would have all been to Nikki Haley.
I agree.
Because she's likable, she's smarter, she's certainly a better debater, mm-hmm. and she would have the conservative policy with appeal to both sides. Anyway, but then, you know, we're not going to jettison Trump to go to Nikki Haley, and, you know, there's an awful lot of people, like Rusty said, that are huge Trump fans. He has cultivated that base extraordinarily effectively, even though a lot of times I think, what in the world are we doing?
Yeah.
But that, you know, I agree with you, Rusty. I don't even call Kamala Harris a giant idiot. I might think it inside. But
there you go.
Don't say these things out loud. Be nice, Josh. Gosh.
Refuse.
All right. We're done, I think.
Oh, look at that.
We're early.
Great show.
People are going to be so angry. Why didn't you yell back at... You know what? Sometimes you don't have to yell back. Sometimes I let you do the yelling.
Yeah. And I nail it. Just like your boy.
Ratings.
That's right.
Oh, man. Rusty, Josh, two of my very favorites. Two people who could not agree about more except that they love this show.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys on Monday. Go Argos.